Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evelyn Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Can DOD assist? There's really a lot of what-ifs. We have got that scary story, plus the Down Under 16 social media ban. But first, Ukraine fires U.S.-provided missiles into Russia in major escalation, which might be the understatement of this episode. Ukraine has fired U.S.-provided Army tactical missile systems. Attack-ems, that sounds pretty descriptive to me, into Russia, marking a major escalation of the conflict that Russia has made clear risks nuclear war. The escalation came as Russian President Vladimir Putin formalized changes to Russia's nuclear doctrine that lowered the threshold for the use of nuclear weapons. Oh, a step he took in response to President Biden authorizing Ukraine to use attack-ems, which have a range of about 190 miles in strikes deep inside Russia. Defense Ministry said in a statement that Ukraine fired six attack-ems. At 3:25 a.m., the enemy struck a site on the territory of the Bryansk region, with six ballistic missiles. According to confirmed data, U.S.-made ATACMS tactical missiles were used. As a result of the anti-missile battle, five of them were shot down. One was damaged by crews of an S-400 and Pantsir missile defense system, the ministry said. This according to TASS. The ministry said debris fell on the territory of a military site, causing a fire, but no damages and casualties were reported. Lavrov, that's the Russian foreign general, Sergei Lavrov said the attack shows that the West seeks escalation, pointing to the fact that Ukraine cannot fire attack-ems without U.S.-provided intelligence. The fact that multiple attack-ems were used last night against the Bryansk region signals they want escalation. You see, it is impossible to use these high-tech missiles without the Americans, and Putin has repeatedly said this. Lavrov also said he hopes Ukraine's Western backers read Russia's new nuclear doctrine, which considers an attack by a non-nuclear-armed state that's supported by a nuclear-armed power as a joint attack. You know, kind of sounds like NATO. The doctrine allows the use of nuclear weapons in response to a conventional attack against Russia or Belarus if it is deemed a critical threat to Russia's sovereignty. The nuclear doctrine states that Russia's nuclear deterrence is aimed at a potential adversary, which may encompass individual countries and military alliances, blocs, unions, that regards Russia as a potential enemy and possess nuclear and/or other weapons of mass destruction or have substantial combat capabilities of general-purpose forces. Former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, current Deputy Secretary of Russia's Security Council, took to that Russian propaganda platform known as X, writing that the new nuclear doctrine means Russia can use WMD against Ukraine and NATO. You started it. That means we get to reply in kind. The New York Times first reported on Sunday that President Biden had authorized Ukraine to use attack-ems in strikes on Russian territory, even though U.S. officials acknowledged the escalation wasn't expected to alter the course of the war. And the jokes. We all thought Brandon was going to maybe retire and maybe let the cop have a free month of playing president, but no, it looks like he's going to gin up World War III instead. Kremlin says attack by non-nuclear state with nuke support could lead Russia to use nuclear arms. We've got some other stories from activist posts. Millions of Swedes receive How to Survive War booklet from the government. Thanks, government. And actually from Gallup, half of Ukrainians want quick negotiated into war. I sure got sick of being Democratic-funded neo-Nazis real quick. I'm half joking. Because, of course, James, these are in all these situations, there's people and then the murderous states over them. And usually the desires and wishes of those two groups are not the same. James?
Yeah, excellent. Very good point. And one that even I get lazy sometimes in my speech. And, you know, it's Ukraine and it's Russia. No, it is the Ukrainian government. It is the Russian government. It is the American government. It is not the people. So, yes, we need to keep that in mind before we start demonizing and othering entire populations of people who probably have as much control over their government's actions as you do over yours, right? Which is to say almost none at all. So, yeah, good point. But yes, very serious developments. And as always, I'll just make the proviso that we're recording this at 9:30 a.m. Japanese Standard Time on Thursday, November 21st, 2024. So we do not know about whatever happens after this point. But the latest that I'm seeing in the news feeds right now includes an upping of the ante. In fact, a couple upping of the antes already. Report, Ukraine fires British Storm Shadow missiles into Russia. Yes, there are reports by the Wall Street Journal and several other media outlets that from Wednesday that apparently Ukraine has now fired at least 10 British-provided Storm Shadow missiles into Russia's Kursk Oblast. And exactly like the Attackums, apparently the Storm Shadows as well require intelligence from Western countries for Ukraine to fire them, which puts them over that red line of the new Russian nuclear doctrine. So, yay. Wonderful. One step closer. Again. Within 24 hours. And then, we also have this report. Frankly shocking. Human rights groups thrash Biden's decision to send landmines to Ukraine. Because apparently, now, again, just another on the way out the door, hey, how about this? Now, apparently, Biden has made the use of anti-personnel landmines has given it a green light, which is funny, I suppose, because June 21st, 2022, from whitehouse.gov, fact sheet, changes to U.S. anti-personnel landmine policy. After conducting a comprehensive policy review, the United States is joining the vast majority of countries around the world in committing to limit the use of anti-personnel landmines. Flash forward to 2 years later, and here's weekend at Biden's on the way out the door approving those very landmines. Cut to the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme, I guess. Yeah, what can you say other than this is obviously a deliberate provocation and upping of ante, and obviously it's just one step closer and one step closer and one step closer, and who can say which of those steps will lead to the next great crossing of the threshold, but one of them will, one of these days. At any rate, we'll be here keeping an eye on it.
And James, what about the possible speculation? What if they're just rigging all this up because they know, oh, we're not going to start World War III. Things will be crazy. No one's going to start pushing the nuke buttons. But they're going to prove, here, I just came up with this. The Democrats are going to prove that Trump is in bed with Putin because he's going to come along and not start World War III when he gets in January. See, I told you he was in bed with Putin. He didn't go along with World War III that we were starting to gin up. Any thoughts on that one, James?
It's certainly a political calculus that applies in the American context. I would like to imagine that all of this, the Ukraine and Russia and NATO and all of this, isn't beholden to American presidential politics. But maybe. There's at least that aspect to it, yeah.
As we have both reported for these last several years, the Biden crime family, the McCain crime family, deeply involved in the weirdness going on in Russia. And that, again, you see a decade ago, you're like, man, that tree is finally bearing some fruit now. But no one can remember last week, so they're certainly not going to remember a decade ago. I also, of course, am Media Monarchy. Storm Shadow, remember, is the bad cobra ninja in the G.I. Joe universe. That's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 572. Maybe Brock will put in a picture of Storm Shadow Ninja for me. Whew, good grief. Trump confirms plan to declare national emergency and use the military for mass deportations. Grabbing this from ABC News, everything we say and play always included down in the show notes. President-elect Donald Trump confirmed he would declare a national emergency to carry out his campaign promise of mass deportations of migrants living in the U.S. without legal permission. Trump responded to a social media post from Judicial Watch's Tom Fitton, who said earlier this month, there are reports the incoming administration is preparing such a declaration and to use military assets to deport the migrants. True! Trump wrote in his usual monosyllabic tweety terms. Trump pledged to get started on mass deportations as soon as he enters office. Quote, on day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history to get the criminals out, he said during a rally in Madison Square Garden, the floating garbage island of New York City in the closing days of the presidential race. I will rescue every city and town that's been invaded and conquered and will put these vicious and bloodthirsty criminals in jail, then kick them the hell out of our country as fast as possible. He's already tapped several immigration hardliners to serve in key cabinet positions. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, picked to be Homeland Security Secretary. What? You mean he's not abolishing Homeland Security? Of course, pending Senate confirmation, but I believe he's already working on some jiggery-pokery to get around any pesky Senate confirmations. Former acting U.S. immigration... Same thing any other Coke or Pepsi would do. They all do it. Former U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Tom Homan was named Border Czar because we hate Russia so much, but we name things Czar. Homan previously discussed his vision for mass... James, again, it's all, for me, it's always really, really been so telling in the words. Homan previously discussed his vision for mass deportations, the vision thing, saying they would first concentrate on expelling criminals and national security threats. He didn't rule out deporting families together, which of course would come in response to, you're breaking up families, and be like, no, I'm not. Homan reiterated his plan to take the handcuffs of ICE. Nice work there, Disney News at ABC. I think, James, I think they mean take the handcuffs off ICE. But I'll just read it, you know, as they typed it. Take the handcuffs of ICE and ramp up arrests. Maybe they're taking the handcuffs of ICE and are going to use them themselves, maybe. He noted he will need more resources to carry it out and said there are a lot of what ifs. So I've been asked 1,000 times, how many people can you remove the first year? Well, how many agents do I have? Can we bring rehired agents back, the ones that are retired, and bring them back and rehire them? How many buses do I have? How much money do I have for airplanes, right? Can DOD assist? Because DOD can take a lot off our plate. There's a lot of what ifs. There are an estimated 11 million unauthorized migrants living in the U.S. without legal immigration status. Sing it with me, everybody. Travel ban. Travel ban. Coke gets a wall. Pepsi gets a national ID for use with said wall. Another win-win for the Uniparty. James.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Yeah, if people want more elaboration on that exact point, I just wrote about it in my newsletter last weekend, How to Get Your Tax Cattle to Love Digital ID, a guide for the left or right-wing authoritarian, because they have different flavors and different propaganda that will sell the public on the overall agenda, no matter who is in power, and certainly the travel ban and the build the wall, by which you mean a digital biometric border wall, right? That's what we're talking about, isn't it, right? Which, of course, is has been part of the plan for demonstrably, documentably, the better part of a decade now, with Thielverse Minion associates like Palmer Luckey of Anduril Technologies coming in with the great, wonderful idea of these digital border screening posts and what have you, that it's all going to be AI and it's going to be so super futuristic, guys, And by the way, you'll have the real ID implemented soon enough, and you'll need that to go anywhere in the U.S., etc., etc. Anyway, by the way, guys, the wall isn't to keep them out, it's to keep you in. But anyway, yeah, I will just say about stories like this, I'm not freaking out about anything until it happens. I mean, let's wait until stuff happens, because I'm old enough to remember, say, 2016, when there were a lot of promises about lock her up and drain the swamp and what have you, that somehow failed to materialize. So I don't believe anything until it actually happens in this day and age. But we'll see how this gets implemented. But yeah, I think this is part of the long term. Everybody can get on board with a national digital ID of one form or another, and this is one way to hammer it home.
Well, and of course, ever the showman, which you got to give it up to him sometimes. Just this slow, constant rollout of these new cabinet positions he's going to add. Again, I bet you the CNN and MSNBCs of the world, was Elon going to buy MSNBC? That'll own those libs then. You know they are booming in the ratings again, because as I have said for these 8+ years, they love Trump's hate. And he and Taylor Swift, the greatest economic drivers of 21st century media economy, love them, hate them, whatever, they're the tide that raises all ships. I've told the story a million times. After Trump won in 2016, I was still back in Portland reading one of the local city rags, and there were two ads next to each other. One was, sign up to fight the Trump agenda, because it's always petitioning in Portland. There's a huge thing there. Right next to it was an ad for, see the Melania impersonator strip at Devil's Point. Whichever way, you love him or hate him, man, they got you, and they'll be able to make some money off the 2 minutes hate.
James, do you realize how popular we could be if we either went full Trump derangement syndrome or Trump drunkenness syndrome? Doesn't matter. If you hate him or love him, just pick one. Yep. And go 100%, and you will get tons of clicks and attention and love and money.
Absolutely.
And
all of it.
And, well, I mean, and unfortunately, we see that happen to alternative media every 2, 4, and 8 years. There's always some certain segment of alternative media that... Seppuku, man. Don't get me started. Let's get to our third and final story on this Neural Next Week, episode 572. Australia's under-16 social media ban is a... backdoor to digital ID. Again, as all these things you might get on board to cheer for, there's usually some sort of ulterior motive. Australia is proceeding with plans to pass legislation that would introduce online age verification, referred to as age assurance, because you have to, you know, manipulate and massage the language to make it work well. Proposal announced by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese. Who the hell is that guy? I've been preoccupied by American politics. The proposal announced by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, who explained that under the plan, users younger than 16 would be banned from using social platforms. In order to make the proposal, it's almost like the state is your parent, letting you know what you're allowed to do. Since the parents aren't doing it. In order to make the proposal more palatable, Albanese framed it as a gift to parents, but also revealed that users themselves would not be held responsible or penalized for breaking the possible future law. It's like all the cheaters in baseball. Don't worry, we won't punish you. Instead, companies behind social media are the ones targeted by the planned legislation. They'll just rearrange some of the bosses you can't manage for a year, but we'll bring you back later for the Red Sox. Albanese mentions Meta's Facebook and Instagram, of course, X, TikTok, and Google's YouTube as the kind of major sites that would be affected. Children under 16 would still be able to access social sites without parental consent, but only if they are logged out of accounts. How does that even work, James? As the decades have gone by, it's become more and more difficult to even look at Twitter X if you're not logged into your account. So I don't understand how that one works. The task of the companies, according to the proposal, would be to show they're taking reasonable steps to stop minors under 16 from accessing their sites and apps, but they can still chop off body parts and get untested gene therapy, though. Don't worry. Those steps mean integrating age verification into the platforms, and despite Albany's platitudes about the government having the moms and dads back, Australia has yet to come up with a method of actually determining someone's age. For now, the technology is being trialed, while the timeline for Albanese's newest proposal is to introduce it in Parliament when it reconvenes in 2 weeks' time, and in the meantime, the Prime Minister will work to promote it via an online national cabinet meeting. The proposal will then be debated, and if adopted, it will be implemented within the following 12 months. You've heard of MAID in Canada. Well, now they're MAD in Australia, James. The MAD bill, that's misinformation and disinformation. You gotta have a good acronym. Digital platforms and misinformation. Australian censorship laws set to undermine U.S. First Amendment rights, as many of these companies are U.S. companies. And the last note from Rebel News, thousands take action against Australia's mad censorship push. James, what's the deal with your crown countries?
Yeah, good question. I can't speak for Australia, but having grown up in Canada, I can tell you, at least when I was growing up, it was the indoctrination system. Everybody loved the government. Everybody trusted the government. Of course, the Queen is on our money and all of this. And of course, we salute and venerate the royal crown and all of this. I don't know. It is, there is something seriously, well, hopefully, I would like to think that in the couple decades I haven't been there, that a few more people have realized reality, and I think we're starting to see that. But, yeah, it is, there is clearly a significant difference, and there really is a big historical difference in countries that don't, for example, have a First Amendment, let alone a Second Amendment, let alone the rest of the Bill of Rights, for whatever that may or may not be worth. Just words scribbled on paper aren't necessarily going to protect you from anything, as we have seen over the course of U.S. history. But at the very least, the American people believe in that, and they've always mouthed the words about free speech and freedom of thought and all of this. You don't really have that cultural history to the same extent in places like Australia and Canada and Britain. And we've certainly seen over the past few years that things like the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, absolutely not worth, you might as well print it on toilet paper because it means nothing. Anyway, having said all of that, yeah. You know, it's funny, we didn't plan this, but actually the last two stories have been exactly about my How to Get Your Tax Cattle to Love Digital ID editorial, because this is the other side I was talking about for the left-wing authoritarians. Won't somebody think of the children? And the only possible way that you, as a parent of young people coming into the world and discovering the world, the only way is to have the government come in and enforce things by law, right? You can't actually be responsible for what your children are doing. No. You need the government to do it for you. Of course, I would like to think most of the people in our audience can see through that ploy and the ploy that it is. But then again, as I also noted in that editorial, there is the right-wing version of that, which we see in Florida and Texas and other states that are implementing age verification laws for adult sites. And how are we going to do this? How can we possibly... I know, how about some kind of digital ID? And you know where this is heading. Some kind of driver's license for the internet. Scan your eyeball and your fingerprints to get online. It is coming, and they just need the right way to sell it to left-wing or right-wing, because that encompasses all of humanity, right? And anyway, what can you say about this other than MAD, as in madness? Yeah, I guess I can agree with that acronym.
Yeah, actually, an acronym that feels, you know, what the people would actually say about it. I mean, James, there's this sort of magical yoke of the state. You just kind of made me think, hey, my parents let my brother and I play with lawn darts until they were banned by the government and taken away. It was okay for us to throw giant weighted darts up in the air at each other, but not after the government said no. Do you remember those?
Vaguely, yeah.
It's like horseshoes, but with a weighted metal dart that you throw underhanded. Yeah. And yeah, so your brother's waiting on the other side of the yard near his... Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, but there's... Ah, the New World Next Week laugh, James. New World, ha ha ha. NewWorldNextWeek.com is your source to help support fear-free and ad-free alternative media that's been kicking butt for a combined 30-plus years. James, have we gotten to mention on the show that the Korber Report ball caps are in and are on the store and are selling and shipping?
I think we have, but let's do it again. Okay.
Brand new Korber Report baseball caps. So now, James, you are actually, you're beating me in the head coverings game at NewWorldNextWeek.com. You've got Canadian toques and American baseball caps. We have been out of stock of the Monarchy baseball caps, but we will probably get those back pretty soon as... James, I mean, geez, we were just doing a little bit of planning off mic before we got to rolling. I mean, we're coming up on the end of the year. We're coming up to Christmas. If you want to think about ways to support alternative media that enriches your life and also maybe try and turn your friends or family onto it, maybe you want to rock a Made in America organic shirt that you feel proud about wearing that you know wasn't made by slaves while you're trying to say fight the New World Order. We like to stand behind, I think, the good stuff that we have at NewWorldNextWeek.com. And again, a ginormous thanks to my wife, Cassbot, for running the store, for running the memberships of Media Monarchy, for helping actually, James, funneling some of the action over to you from the people who use. Don't forget, I've got a post office box here in the States. You can support us via physical snail mail. And yes, we fund it and send it on over to James in Japan. You've not gotten your big gift box in yet, have you probably?
Not yet. I will let you know when it arrives.
Okay. Okie doke. Should be there, I would imagine, any time now. Well, why don't you should, if you would, announce it with rocking some ball caps and sharing that.
I absolutely will. Yeah. And I don't want to spoil things, but I'm going to get way ahead in the arms race here with headgear. I'm going to balaclava, Korber Report, Ushanka hat.
No way.
We've got some big things in the offing here.
No, I'll have to put my foot. I want a balaclava. I know that's the British-y word for a ski mask. I like the idea of the ridiculous amount of trouble that could come from a Media Monarchy logo on a full ski mask. James,
man.
There it is, buddy. That is New World Next Week, episode 572, my friend.
Thank you. And full disclosure, the only G.I. Joe cartoon character I remember was Tomex and Zaymot, the identical twins. You could hit one of them and the other one would feel it. I was telling my boy about that just the other day, and here we are talking about G.I. Joe characters again. Synchro mysticism, I tell you. Anyway. On that
there
note.
It is.
All right. Thanks, man. Dude, let's do it again soon. And not next week, by the way. Next week will be off. Thanksgiving, all of that. We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yep. Cheers, buddy. Take care.
Take care.